We now bring to these microphones David James. It's that time of the week for our weekly conversation. And this time we're going to focus on small churches and ask the question, should they resolve in 2017 not to mimic what is known as a mega church? Well, David's going to come to us not today from the United States, but once again, David, you're back in the Philippines for the second time since November. Boy, that's quite a commute to go to work for you, buddy.
Yeah, it is. It's about a 31-hour trip door-to-door on the route that I took this time. And, so I'm struggling with that and also a 13-hour time difference. So that's quite a bit. But, yeah, I'm here for the second time in a couple of months, and I'm now making about a couple trips a year. So this is my 11th trip to the Philippines, and this week I'll be at Word of Life both weeks, and I'll be teaching God's Plan Through the Ages the first week and through the book of Proverbs in the second week.
Oh, great. Well, what a great opportunity. Prophecy and practical teaching from the Word of God. Well, we're going to be praying for you. Have a great ministry out there. David, an article came out this week. It was entitled, Small Churches Should Resolve in 2017 Not to Mimic Mega Churches. What are your thoughts?
Well, yeah, and it might sound like it's a negative toward mega church article, but that's not the case at all. The point of the article is that there are a lot of things about mega churches: their size, their popularity, their finances, some of the things that they're able to do, ministries they're able to offer, and things like that that would be very attractive or appealing to smaller churches. And the smaller churches might come to the conclusion that if they would implement a lot of the things that the mega churches do, that they would experience similar success. And the fact is that the article points out that's not the case.
Well, we hear a lot about mega churches, and in fact, they are very popular, as you said. How large does a church have to be considered a mega church? In other words, is there some sort of a definition for a mega church?
Well, the general rule of thumb that is used as people observe these things is 2,000 in weekly attendance. So this is not membership, but it's 2,000 weekly attendance. And I've been in small churches. I've been in small churches like in Hungary, as small as, you know, 20 or 30 people. I've been in large Southern Baptist Church when we lived in Chattanooga that would be considered a mega church, and I've been in churches in between. Our current church is a church of about 120 people on a Sunday morning in average attendance.
Okay, now let's talk about these mega churches, and I need to know, are they only here in the United States? You're a man traveling around the world. Tell me a couple of the well-known mega churches that are here in the United States, the better known.
Well, for example, probably the largest one, I think the largest one is Lakewood Church, where Joel Osteen is pastor. They have an average attendance on a given Sunday of over 43,000 people, if you can believe that. North Point, which we've talked about before, as we've discussed that church and its pastor, Andy Stanley, on the north side of Georgia, they have around 30,000 on a Sunday morning. Willow Creek, which was one of the first well-known mega churches back in the 80s and 90s in the Chicago area. They're around 25,000. Of course, there's Saddleback out in California with Rick Warren, around 22,000. Then it drops down, and there's still mega churches, but some well-known names like David Jeremiah, Shadow Mountain Community Church out in El Cajon, California. That's about 7,500. Chuck Swindoll's church on the north side of Dallas is about 4,500.
Well, that gives us some type of an understanding, a definition of what a mega church is, and then where they are here in the United States. They're somewhat of a phenomenon here in America, are they not? Or are there mega churches in other countries of the world as well?
Well, actually, there are. Probably Africa has the most number of megachurches in the above 50,000 range, and especially in Nigeria. There are megachurches here, even in the Philippines. There's one megachurch that is up around 50,000, I believe, in Manila. South America has several megachurches as well. Europe, in Hungary, the largest church is about 8,000, where we were missionaries for 16 years, about 8,000 there. so they're much smaller. 8,000 is a small church compared to mega churches in Hungary. But this may come as a shock to some people, but the largest mega church is in Seoul, South Korea, and it's Yoida Fellowship Church. It's an Assembly of God church, and they, believe it or not, between the main church, which seats 29,000 in their sanctuary, and satellite churches, they have about 500,000 people on a Sunday morning.
Well, you know, David, people tend to be fairly divided over how they view mega churches. Some are very positive about them, and some are very critical. What do you see as some of the strengths for a mega church operation?
Well, one thing, you know, what is successful tends to continue that momentum. So what's growing tends to grow. So they continue to be some of the fastest growing churches. And because of that, people can be attracted because of the name recognition of the church or just out of curiosity about what's going on. So that brings visitors into the church, which you can reach with the gospel if the church is, in fact, preaching the gospel, and not all are. They have a lot of resources to make a tremendous impact on their community and around the world. They have the ability to purchase airtime on television and radio. And because of their size, and actually even because of their salary offerings, they can attract some top-level Christian leaders and also have top-tier talent for their ministries, whether it be music ministries or drama or other things. And of course, they can have the best facilities and the highest quality in everything. I know one mega church I was familiar with. You know, as a singer, my microphone that I use is about a $180 microphone, which does everything I needed to do. But I know that this church has $6,000 microphones that their singers use on a Sunday morning, and I'd have to say that 99.9% of all people who hear them couldn't tell the difference between the two, but they're able to do the highest quality. And, of course, they're able to offer a wide variety of ministries and activities.
Then let's take the other side of that coin. What about some of the potential drawbacks or weaknesses of the mega churches?
Well, there are a few. Pastors can be seen as celebrities, and the church and the success of the church largely depends upon him as sort of a bigger-than-life personality. And once he moves on, it's kind of hard to replace that person. The church can tend to run on a business model rather than a shepherding model. In fact, that is being promoted by men like Andy Stanley, for example. Pastor knows mostly some of the staff and few in the congregation. In fact, some pastors in these large churches say they don't really want to get involved with the personal lives of the people in their congregations, which is a tragedy. There's a lack of connectedness, I would say, to most people in the church. As you walk into the foyer or you're in the worship service, you'll not know most of the people that you see. Of course, they make up through some of that through smaller groups, but most of the people you'll run into, you won't know. You can also be totally anonymous, and when that happens, there's little accountability. People won't know whether you're there or not. And in fact, about two-thirds of the people in a megachurch on average have been there less than 5 years, so they're bringing in a lot of unbelievers. And in fact, this is because they're largely built, many of them are built on the seeker-friendly model, so they've designed church to draw in unbelievers, and they see the purpose of the church as reaching unbelievers, whereas I would say that the purpose of the church is for the building up of the and edifying of the saints to do the work of the ministry. And so church is not primarily for unbelievers, it's to equip believers with Bible knowledge and an understanding so that they can reach their circle of influence.
Well, let me go back to this article that we started our conversation about. Do you agree with the article? What about the small churches? Should they or should they not try to mimic the mega churches?
Well, no, I don't think they should, and there are a number of reasons. One, it would be like a mom-and-pop store trying to compete with Apple on the way they do things. There's an economy of scale. You don't have the finances, but then that doesn't mean that a mom-and-pop store should be like an Apple store or Microsoft or Exxon, these huge mega corporations. There are advantages that the smaller stores have using that comparison. And you know, small churches they're in communities that can never sustain a mega church. They're able to reach their communities at a personal level. It's easier for people to be connected in a small and have a fellowship of community in the church. And another thing I've seen is as they've tried to mimic for example, even the music ministries, one of the things that came out of the megachurches was, for example, worship teams. Now, megachurches are able to have top-level musicians, top-level singers, top-level worship leaders, and do things at a very high level. But when you try to mimic that and do things that you're not good at doing, sometimes these things become a distraction, and then they become a source of discouragement and failure. And so a lot of churches have overextended themselves financially by trying to do things that only the bigger churches can do. So, you know, a little church, a small church, smaller churches need to be who they are and do the best at what they're best at doing and function in that way.
Well, David, let me finally ask you this. What should someone really be looking for when they're trying to find a good church, one that will serve their spiritual needs? Give us a few characteristics of a healthy and a biblical church.
Well, from the biblical standpoint, I'd say that go to the church website, look at the doctrinal statement, look for both what is said and what is not said, because what is not said can sometimes be just as important. So look to see what they say about the Bible, about Jesus Christ. Did he die for all men as we would believe he did? That salvation is a free gift that can't be lost, that the sign gifts were ended with the apostolic era. And concerning the future, do they believe in an imminent personal return of Christ in the rapture followed by the tribulation and the millennial reign of Christ? And then when you're visiting the church, are they welcoming to visitors? Just observe how the people interact with one another, including how they interact with the pastor and how the pastor interacts with them. Try to find out how involved they are in missions, evangelism, and discipleship. Do they support missionaries, and do they have programs to disciple new believers as they come into the church? Also, I would look to see if the attendance is steady or rising. A steady attendance is just fine, but if you have a congregation that is steadily losing attendance and members, there's something wrong. There's a reason that they're losing out. And another thing I would say, and this may seem a little bit counterintuitive, but are they financial? Stable. And the reason I bring that up is that strong giving to the Lord's work is a sign of a spiritually mature congregation. So that means that they are being taught well, not just about finances. In fact, our pastor never mentions finances, but he teaches the Bible clearly, and people are spiritually mature.
Boy, that's great advice for all of us as we search for a church home someplace, mega church, small church. I have to tell you the truth. I really enjoy the smaller church because of the interaction with the people and with the leadership of the church. Would you not agree with that, David?
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, there's probably a place for all types of churches. I tend to think that it would be better to spin off and plant multiple smaller churches and have the single big large churches. But, you know, I'm not standing against mega churches, but I do have a preference, and I think that you can function perhaps in a bit more biblical way, a smaller one.
David James with our weekly conversations. He's in the Philippines. He's ministering out there for the third time this year. David, I pray that God will bless your ministry out there. Be safe, and we'll talk again next week.
Okay, thanks, Jimmy.